Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Ford Motor Company today posted a higher-than-expected quarterly profit and announced additional debt reduction to cut borrowing costs and bring the automaker closer to an investment-grade credit rating. Third quarter net profit rose to $1.7 billion, or 43 cents per share, from $997 million, or 29 cents per share a year earlier. The $1.7 billion net profit was its strongest result for a third quarter since at least the 1980s. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 11,144, down almost 20 points. The NASDAQ, 2489, down 1.76. The S&P 500, 1183, down almost 2.5 points. Todd Gleason and I want to thank the 233 people who pledged in support of Illinois Public Media Agriculture and WillAg.org during the just-concluded fall pledge drive. Your generous contributions help us to meet a $2,000 challenge from Risk Management Commodities, Bates Commodities, AgriGold Hybrids, the Andersons, Global Commodity Analytics, and Farm Credit Services. We'll have overall totals for the pledge drive later. And again, our very sincere thanks. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Well, good morning, Dave.
We had something of a turnaround Tuesday today. I'll look at the markets as they open. Let's look at that just a second. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened 672 down 2, July 738 down 3.25. December corn opened at 563.5 down 5.25. Go out to July 586 down 4.75. November beans open at 12.12.5 down 5.25. The July 1238 down 6.25. November of 2011, 1160.5 down 4.5. December soybean meal opened at 333 down 160. December soybean oil 49.37 down 10. Over on the livestock side, December live cattle opened at 165 unchanged. November feeders 112.02.5 up 15, and December lean hog 69.30 up 85. What in the marketplace caught your eye this morning, Wayne?
Well, of course, first thing we walked in this morning, we saw, you know, the corn and beans been lower overnight. We saw the dollar had rallied. I think the dollar is probably the most influential thing overnight. And crude oil, at that point in time, was lower, Dave. Crude oil has since come back and is trading just 15 or 16 ticks higher. But the biggest thing probably as we look at this board this morning after the open is the big turnaround in the wheat. Basically, we had two things happening in the wheat market. Number one, the noodle wheat or the Western Australian wheat is coming in much worse than had first been thought, and we're seeing a rally coming somewhat out of that. And the second, of course, is the wheat ratings that we saw last night, way below last year's ratings and not very good, and continued talk of poor germination and much need of moisture coming across to sprouting of this wheat that's out there, Dave. But all in all, we're at some pretty good support levels in the corn for what we're looking at, too, as harvest finishes up.
So is wheat finding a bottom in the mid-660s?
Well, it seems to be, at least for now. I mean, with these sort of ratings, unless we see much better immersion. You know, we were looking at some larger acreage being planted this year, and I think that that happened. We did have a lot of wheat put in the ground around here that my farmers had never planted wheat, and I think that happened in a lot of areas. And it just isn't looking very good or isn't popping up through the ground yet because of the moisture problems. So wheat ratings lower, wheat in Australia not as good as expected, and, of course, the Russian news that they were extending their embargo yesterday by President Putin didn't hurt anything as far as helping the wheat market.
Let's look at the corn market, and well, look at all the grain markets and ask you this. What do you think the funds will do going into the end of the month?
You know, that was one of the big questions coming in here this morning. One of the things that kept being pointed out was the the Fed meeting here on the 2nd, and if they will be as aggressive about influx of money and trying to stimulate the economy, whether there be some profit-taking going into the end of the month by some of the funds, and just somewhat the lack of bullish news that they might go ahead and lighten their positions. And then, of course, yesterday the meeting in Chicago with the NAS people and the statistics, and I don't believe everybody got the kind of answers they were hoping for yesterday, and they were pretty rough on the NAS people. And I think that the one thing that popped up to me in some of the comments this morning was 91% of the test plots had been harvested, and of course the ones that probably wouldn't have been harvested were in the western parts of the Corn Belt where the yields had a possibility of being a little better. And what does that say for the USDA's yield projection for this next report?
There is that. And were there other things that users of the NAS information were very upset about?
Well, I think they said slow. The farmers themselves were slow at reporting their or sending back their results on their cards or their surveys. I think, number two, there was talk that some of the farmers had highly overestimated the amount of corn in their bin because they didn't make adjustments for pack factor, test weight, and moisture, and some of those things. And then I think just the confusion that a lot of us could explain in the early harvest, and that the questionnaire said, how much old corn do you have in storage? And a lot of the new corn had come in and was shipped out rather than the old corn that would have been. And they answered correctly because it was mostly old damaged corn left in the elevators or bins.
So what do you think all that talk yesterday at the users' meeting might mean for the reports that come out, I believe, on November 9th?
That's the big question. I mean, as far as did they have enough of their data in that it is only the western 9% of their plots that had to come in, and those could be higher, and we could possibly see a raise in the corn number? Or are they going to shadow that a little bit with what we're seeing as far as what the yields seem to have been overall with every place now as they finish not just their test plots but also the overall farmer surveys? I think it's going to be important that they get a very good sampling of those surveys in that maybe would tell them that we definitely shouldn't increase the yield on this next report. But that's, I think, after the outrage, I guess we would say, from the questions yesterday, that we're going to have some very, very serious people looking at these numbers and making sure that they don't really go against what the whole trend in industry is looking at.
There's at least 150 million metric tons of corn, 150 million bushels, excuse me, of corn that still is a big puzzle out there.
Yeah, and we don't know how they're going to handle it. And if I were in their shoes, I'm not sure I'd know how I would handle it so I could justify everything with statistics and with numbers that are coming in. And I think that I don't think that any of these have been intentional misinformation. I think that just the numbers have come in wrong to them in some cases, not necessarily meaning to be intentional, but the survey was flawed because of the low test weight last year, because of the moisture, and maybe the way that some of the questions were asked.
There was a lot of rolling yesterday, and it affected old crop, new crop spreads in corn. Is that going to continue?
I think we'll see a little more of that. I think that, we're seeing want to move out a little farther. I think that this morning, one of the news wires, Rabobank, was definitely forecasting higher prices for the spring. They were talking, I think, at $12.25 for spring bean prices, and we're going to see some of the funds. They like to stay in the more distant months rather than the nearby months.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
It's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. Some weather updates for you. There's a high wind warning in effect until 7 p.m. this evening for the following counties in our severe weather coverage area: Champaign, Vermilion, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, McLean, Piatt, Macon, and Moultrie, and in Ford and Iroquois counties until 8 p.m. Strong southwest to west winds are on tap for today, with sustained winds of up to 35 miles an hour and occasional gusts above 50 miles an hour. A little less in Macon and Moultrie counties, and the winds will decrease but remain breezy toward sunset tonight. Current tick, December corn at 569 and a quarter is up a half. July, 590 and a half down a quarter. November beans, 1215 and a half down 2 1/4. Go out to July, 1238 down 6 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.